Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears along with you here Monday, June the 28th, 2021, 14 and a half minutes past the hour. And it is the last Monday in the month of June, the kickoff of the Marion County Fair, first one in 2 years because of the pandemic. And we are now under a week until July the 4th. July the 4th coming up. Sunday. Can you believe that? Just right around the corner. Now, I do want to mention today, Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam Lepp will be on when I go off the air today from 10 a.m. until 11 a.m., and then we have Voice of the People with Linda Sims today from 4:10 p.m. until 5 p.m. on this station. So don't miss either one of those programs. They are all worth listening to, and two great hosts who have great programs on this station. And don't forget, coming up this Sunday, July the 4th, we will be replaying an episode from May the 2nd of Pastor Craig's show from 11:10 a.m. till 12 p.m. And on Sundays now, we also play the Community Christian Fellowship Sunday service from 12:15 until 1 p.m. and the Trinity Baptist Church Sunday service from 6:10 until 7 p.m. right here on this station. So that is the way that goes. All kinds of stuff to talk about here this morning that we will get into as the morning progresses, but a couple warm days here. You know, the air conditioning has been running, to be sure, the last few days. We're going to be joined by a guest here momentarily. A matter of fact, maybe this is our guest getting ready to join us here. For the last year and a half, the Marion Senior Center has pretty well, the building itself has been closed and activities have come to a halt except for some transportation because of the pandemic. And we received word late last week that starting on July the 6th, the Senior Center will be reopening, but it will be done with some changes and done in some phases. So to get some information on that, we are happy to be joined this morning by the director of the Marion Senior Center, Steve Bodicher. Steve, how are you?
I am well, Scott. Thank you. And thanks for having me on here today to help spread the word that we're excited about getting members finally back in the building. So,
how long has the center been closed?
We were closed in the early stages of the pandemic on Friday, March 13th, because Friday the 13th will stick with my mind for a long time. But we were closed down in an abundance of caution, obviously, with us serving the most vulnerable group in the community, and just some concerns. At that time, it was a little bit crazy as far as the information going around and some of the cases that were, you know, skyrocketing across the country. So we did close down the facility, and you know, we do reach a little different level as far as expectations. We fall into the categories that assisted living facilities and nursing homes and adult daycare and senior centers are grouped right in there of the concerns for making sure we're keeping everybody safe. So it's been a long while, a little over a year, but there is finally light here at the end of the tunnel.
What have you heard in the last year and a half from the people who normally frequent the center?
Well, obviously, you know, there's a lot of folks that are, this is a very important part of their life, of getting out here and socializing with their friends and getting to get interaction with other folks. And so isolation is a very, very important point that we need to address as far as what the impact the pandemic has had on individuals, especially for those that may be not as mobile as some of the younger sets as far as getting out and about, having transportation. We were able to provide that throughout the pandemic to make sure that folks were getting to grocery stores and getting to doctor's appointments, things of that nature. But there were really not many social options for the folks we serve. And also some seniors are maybe a little more savvy with technology, but a lot do not participate in things online and the ability to go to Facebook, for example. So they were kind of isolated in their homes, and if they didn't have immediate family around or neighbors that were caring that were able to assist them, it was pretty much sitting out there on an island. So being able to get them back in here and help with their well-being and their welfare, both mental and physical, is very important to us. And again, we're very excited to be welcoming our friends back here into the center.
When it comes to communication prior to the pandemic, text messaging, computers, FaceTime, all of these things we do, what lesson do you think we've learned in general since we had to be isolated for a period of time?
Well, I would say that one thing that folks have had to be able to deal with if they did not have technology going out there for them was how to get in touch with their inner self, if you will. I know that folks were spending a lot of time reading, and maybe they were on the telephone having some conversations with others, but pretty much in the early stages, we all were in a point where we were locked down, and if you didn't have immediate family, that was really a concern. One of the things that we did to address that, I guess a little bit during that early stages, where we were sending our newsletter out to all the members, and of course everything was shut down, and somebody after the first month or two said, members are getting this newsletter and they're seeing all the things that they're no longer able to do. It's got to be a little disheartening. And I said, it's a good point. So we took it upon staff to say, well, if they can't come into the senior center, how can we take the senior center to them? So we totally restructured how we did our 16-page newsletter to start including things like word finds and crossword puzzles and Sudoku, and also some humor in there for printing some funny stories and jokes. And we also included exercise. And Cindy Jennings, our social services coordinator, is also a certified personal trainer, so she does exercise classes out here with balance and some other cardio and strength classes that are geared towards our senior members. And she would put different workouts in there for things that they could do at home, utilizing things around the home, such as chairs and things of that nature. Cans of soup instead of weights. She was pretty creative in that regard. So just came up with a lot of those type of things. And then recipes, of course, they had some time. If they have a little culinary skill there, that we started putting some favorite recipes in there that they could try at home. So just tried to do some things that would be of interest that would maybe beat the doldrums of just sitting around.
How did the decision come about to reopen on July the 6th?
Well, senior centers in general were permitted to open a little sooner than that, and all of my peers in the eight surrounding counties that were part of Area Agency on Aging District 5, the one hang-up to senior centers reopening was the testing that was required at that point in time. It was just daily testing required from everybody, including staff and members, and we just, as a whole, most people thought that was not going to be something that was well received. So once that was removed, and if you recall, Governor DeWine at one point lifted all of the mandates he had in place for the general population. I think the magic day of that was like June the 2nd. That kind of opened some doors to maybe start considering opening the doors here. And we also had been spending a lot of time studying what others were doing across the country, and opening in phases seemed to be a very accepted practice and something where it could gradually get folks back in and acclimated to the new way things were being done. So we went ahead and put together a more detailed plan to do that, to open in phases. And I would say the majority of the folks around us opened around that same time, that it was no magic date to it other than you just came off of a holiday, the 4th of July, Independence Day, and then we're able to start welcoming folks back in slowly here. But we also, you know, as I mentioned, we're dealing with the most vulnerable group of our population. Even though the majority of the mandates were lifted, we do have the third amended order by the Ohio Department of Health, and that is for senior centers specifically, and the requirements and guidelines that we have are much more stringent than what it is for the general population. So although folks can go out and determine whether they do or don't want to wear a mask when they're out in the public, in most places, going to areas, you know, grocery stores in the area or financial institutions or the YMCA or wherever they're going, they have their own set of criteria. But when it comes to senior centers, for us to open our doors and remain open to follow the third amended order, some other items are still in place there that aren't in other areas of the community, such as still having to required to wear a mask at all times. And, you know, we're certainly going to be promoting proper hand hygiene, and we'll be not serving communal food or drinks at this time. Again, all of this is a ever-evolving situation, so we will, as we continue to get things sent to us that we can do differently, then we'll enact those into what we're doing here day to day. But our phases that we're opening up in, for example, instead of being open our normal hours, we are now opening from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., and the reason for this isn't just to limit the hours, but there's a lot of deep cleaning and protocols that staff will need to take care of that we haven't had to in the past. So doing that in the hours before and after we have members in here is a part of that reopening plan with the new cleaning protocols.
Now, when this all starts on July the 6th, can you kind of tell us about the three phases and how they came about?
Absolutely. And good question. And the one thing I've had to say early and often is, folks might think that it's going to be like the Wild West and the saloon doors are going to open and everything's going to be the way it always was, but it can't be that way right now. And I don't know that it'll ever go back 100% because there were some positives we learned out of the pandemic that we'll implement going forward. But the three phases that we are looking at, we are going to do the first phase is the first 2 weeks of July. And that will be phase one. And in there, we're going to do more larger group activities that also can very easily be social distance, such as Tai Chi and line dancing. And there's an intro to fitness class. And those will be in phase one. We also have the benefit of Tri-Rivers Career Center built this beautiful activity pavilion out here that's 32 by 32 feet under roof. So we're going to utilize that space as well to get folks outdoors as often as the weather permits. And then pickleball, for example, we have the only pickleball specific courts here that are public in Marion County, and they've been going full bore here through the whole pandemic. Of course, that's not something we oversee or monitor because folks are able to just go out there and play open pickleball. But those folks, what I've observed, have been doing a really good job of, you know, still doing things the right way out there. And so pickleball is going to be another outdoor activity that folks can do during phase one, as well as our walking club. That there's a little quarter mile track our neighbors right next door at Marion County Board of Developmental Disabilities put in. It's paved, and so we have a little walking club that utilizes their track, and they've tracked their distances and earned prizes, and so they'll be able to do that as well over there in phase one. Then phase two is going to be July 19th through the end of July, and all activities that we talked about in phase one will continue, but we'll also start adding in things like mind games, which is a small class that gets together to give their brain a workout with trivia and various games. We'll have another one that's similar. Doing trivia is going to be breakfast for the brain, although this first step will be breakfast-less because we're not going to be serving food. However, the group will still get together. And we're also going to have bingo in there. Kingston Residents of Marion is going to host bingo in that second session. We also show a movie out here, and we'll be able to do social distancing with the seating for the movie, and that will be starting back up in phase two, as well as a photography class. So those are going to be things that we'll add into that second phase of 2 weeks at the end of July. And then in August, we're going to really sit down and reassess everything, what things have been working, what things can be tweaked, and then additional things that can be added. And we hope to start getting in quite a few more groups there at the beginning of August. And from there, we should just sit back and make sure everything is working and everyone is being kept safe, and life should be good.
You know, Steve, as you said earlier, it's been a year and a half almost since the doors have been open, and you are dealing with one of the most vulnerable populations here. Is there any apprehension to reopening the doors in your mind?
In my mind, no, not any apprehension, because I think that since a year and a half ago when this all first started, we knew nothing about the coronavirus. Literally, and we've learned a lot. There's still a lot we don't know, I'm sure, but through science and through, you know, the studies of what they're doing and through the vaccination process, that is probably the biggest difference from, you know, if I would have sat here and said a year ago, we open the door and we typically have 100 members in here on average any given day. I would be worried about 100 different members, you know, maybe falling ill and having a huge outbreak. Well, today, with, you know, the vaccination, I know that those that are fully vaccinated aren't to the numbers that the governor would like to see, but they've made tremendous progress in the general population. But if you look at just the members we serve, the last numbers I saw were somewhere around the 85% or higher of folks that are in our age group of the folks that come out here have been vaccinated. So even though there is some risk, I guess, always in life, as my son always says, you can walk out in a parking lot and get hit by a truck, so there's risk. But doing it safely and doing it cautiously and putting the protocols in place, and we also will have everybody that comes in will continue to be answering questions as far as doing health assessment when they first walk in the door. So I think that we've mitigated the opportunity for things to really go sideways on us, but at the same time, we're going to be on top of it. We're going to be constantly monitoring what's going on, and certainly we're opening up July 6th, but if things would change, we could shut down as quickly as we open, and not meaning that things would change in the center per se, but if they would change in our county, if there were a spike, there may be a possibility that other areas would be impacted, and we would probably be one of them.
It's very interesting, because a lot of the state mandates have been lifted, and in regard to masks and people who have had the vaccination and who have not had the vaccination. But I notice a lot of businesses are asking people if they have had the vaccine and allowing them to come in without a mask if they have. When it comes to the senior center, will people be asked, seniors who are coming in, if they have had the vaccine or have not had the vaccine?
Well, at this point in time, again, going back to the health order that's in place, we currently, it wouldn't impact anything we're doing, because we're all required to wear masks at this point in time with both staff and members. So I'm hopeful that they are all looking out after, you know, what they think is in their best interest, but that won't be a deterrent to folks coming in. More of the assessment when they come in, making sure they haven't had symptoms, they haven't been around somebody and had exposure, and if they are wearing the mask and social distancing and practicing all the good hand washing and things that we've come to know and love, we are not really at a point where we'll be asking about that specifically. Now, if the health order changes, which, you know, they do throughout time, and I anticipate this one will eventually, and we get to a point where that is an option and folks can come in and not have to wear a mask if they are vaccinated, if that indeed does change, then we will abide by that as well.
Just some general information about the center. A lot of people have become of age to join the senior center in the last year and a half. How do you join? Are you able to join right now? And what are the costs and benefits?
Yes, that's good questions. And it's I think folks are surprised a lot of times when you say, how old do you have to be a member? And we tell them 60. And that's for the social membership. And they're kind of surprised by that because I guess they don't really view 60 as seniors. I don't know. But I think there is also that perception out there that, you know, maybe that we open our doors and you come in and all you see are people taking naps and using walkers. And that's any furthest from the case. We have people that utilize walkers and they're very mobile. We have probably a few that still take naps, but we have lots of folks doing the activities we talked about with dancing and Tai Chi and participating in pickleball. So there's all a full spectrum of their involvement and activity level. Unfortunately, we won't be able to do the big group activities for the foreseeable future just because of the risk involved in that. But the activities that they can get involved in, they will be plentiful as we continue to roll them into the fold here. We do have one of the things that's been most popular over my time here. I've witnessed the increased number of people participating in trips and travel. And that, unfortunately, is also going to be put on pause for now and on the back burner because, well, even the trip companies are having a hard time trying to figure out how to be able to offer those trips and do it to meet the mandates. So eventually, again, that will be coming back. But we do have a lot to offer out here. As far as membership, it typically, every year that I've been here, which it's been a decade now, hard to believe, but $30 has been our annual membership fee, and that this year, because of the pandemic and opening later, it just ironically works out that we'll be open for just 6 months that they'll be able to come in the building. So we've reduced the membership here to just $15 to join for the remainder of the year. And then, you know, as they have opportunities to bring back some of the other trips and things like that down the road, you know, those will be an additional cost to that membership. But everything else, just as far as what we offer here, the vast majority of things, there is no additional charge. So that $15 gets you a lot. And as far as services, we're a focal point for the county of Marion, providing, we don't all provide all the services, but we can tell them, point them in the right direction where to find them. But we also do provide specifically senior transportation. And again, that is just on a donation basis. So with folks wanting to get back out here to the center now, we didn't have rides coming here before because there was no reason to bring them out to a facility that they couldn't get in. But now that's opened up. So if folks want to get rides scheduled to come out and maybe work out at the fitness center or attend some of the classes or play bingo or whatever it may be, they can schedule those rides here. And that is through our transportation program, and that's a different phone number for the transportation. I can give that here is 740-387-5444. That's 740-387-5444. And they'd like to have at least 24 to 48 hours in advance to request the service, but that service will take you anywhere within Marion County, whether it be a doctor's appointment or to go to the grocery store or come out here to the senior center, wherever you need to go. It just needs to be scheduled between 8 a.m. and 3:30 p.m., which typically that's kind of the wheelhouse for seniors anyway of wanting to be out and about.
And that is just a donation basis?
Just a donation basis, yes. It's funded by the Area Agency on Aging, District 5. We get some funding for, and then also our local levy here, our local senior levy, and that's administered through the Marion County Council on Aging, and they're both great partners and both very supportive of trying to keep seniors in their homes. That's really what most of our programs are based on, is keeping people active and in their homes, where they'd rather be if they have a choice, typically.
Now, if people are interested, how do the meals work, and is that included in the $15?
The meals, no. The meals are, we do have, there's two types of meals. We are right now not able to do our meals here, which are the, I like to say, the good old-fashioned staple foods of lots of, you know, butter and lard and all those fun things and salt and everything everybody enjoys. They can do to their heart's desire, but those we do in our own kitchen with volunteers, but those will not be coming back for a while. But we do have the home-delivered meals, which have continued on throughout the pandemic, and those will continue to be delivered, and that's by our partners at Life Care Alliance. So Life Care, basically, they're Meals on Wheels to get those delivered, and the great thing about Life Care that I appreciate about them is they have some for-profit entities that they do large-scale events and things down in the Franklin County market, and then they'll funnel those dollars back into doing Meals on Wheels. So it all goes back in to support this effort. And they offer flexibility of a daily hot or cold meals, or you can get a weekly frozen meals. And they've got some really tasty options there. So if anyone wants information on Meals on Wheels, their direct number to get in touch to get on their list. And there is typically no waiting list. If somebody's, for example, being discharged from the hospital and going home, they can call that day and typically set up getting meals immediately. So the number for Life Care Alliance Meals on Wheels is 614-278-3130. That's 614-278-3130. And we also, through the end of this month at least, or through the end of July, we'll have grab-and-go meals, which have kind of replaced our meals here, and they come in on Thursdays. And again, it's a donation basis, some, you know, whatever their ability to pay is, and that's not judged at all. They can come through, get a meal. Actually, they get two meals, and then they get two frozen breakfast entrees, so that's every Thursday here through the end of July. That'll be at the Senior Center, and it's from, let's see, I don't want to misspeak on that. I believe it begins at 11 a.m. Yep, 11 a.m. to noon, and that has been very, very popular. We started out, Scott, serving like 55 meals, thinking that we might be able to hit that mark, and we're up to 85 meals the last time we served out there in a short month, so really meeting some food insecurities. And speaking of that, we'll also do a food box distribution out here, which is today is the day for that out here at the Senior Center. And that's a program they need to get signed up for. And we are working with partnership with Mid-Ohio Food Collective. And they bring food boxes up. Today we'll be distributing 224 of those boxes. And that's down to a science as to how we get those folks through the parking lots here, but they will be starting that. I believe it starts at 12:30, and we'll serve those that stop out for their food boxes. And again, that is one difference too as we reopen, just from a safety standpoint. Every Monday, it hits once a month. It's usually towards the end of the month that we distribute food boxes. We will not be open for members that day because we need all hands on deck to do the food boxes, and it's just a safety concern too with the volume of traffic going through the parking lot. And just think it's best that we shut down, and then what time we aren't doing food boxes, we'll be doing some more deep cleaning. So that's kind of it in a nutshell from the food side.
Yeah, well, sounds great. And Steve, if anybody has any questions, how do they get in touch with you?
Well, they can reach out here every Monday through Friday. I'm typically here. If not, a staff member can assist them. And our main line number is 740-387-6100. That's 740-387-6100. Or after the 6th, we'll have the ability, they can just stop out if they have questions and visit anytime between 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. Monday through Friday. But that would be after the 6th.
That sounds good. Well, have a great holiday, Steve. Thank you for calling in, and best of luck on the reopen.
Well, thank you, Scott. You have a great holiday, too, and I really appreciate the opportunity to get out to the community some of this information. So thank you for that.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye.
Steve Bodicher, the director of the Marion Senior Center, and again, the Marion Senior Center will be reopening on July the 6th, but in three different phases, and a lot of things will be different. Remember, one of the big things that will be different is the hours, 10 a.m. till 2 p.m. and a lot of the classes and things that have going on there. So changes coming. Pay attention to those, be cognizant of those, and enjoy the Senior Center as it reopens on July the 6th. In a different world, but there'll be three phases, and as those three phases go on, I guess we will see where we are in August when things are reevaluated. Now, again, we were having a little bit of problem with the phone earlier. If you'd like to call in and talk about anything you wanted to talk about in hour number one, please feel free, 44 minutes past the hour, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. I know people were having trouble getting in, and we had some calls coming in there during the break, so give us a buzz, 740-383-9944. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning. Would you be interested in 5 or 6 passes to the fair to give away?
Oh, to the Marion County Fair? Sure.
Yes.
Sure, if you'd like to do that.
Yeah, the Y-Men have some passes that we don't need, and if you want to do that, I can drop them off.
Go right ahead. No, thank you. I appreciate that.
Where are you located?
We're here, 523 South Prospect. We're right across the street from Washington. It's a White House, White House next to two empty lots.
Okay, I know where it is. Thank
Perfect.
You.
Perfect. Thank you. Bye-bye. Well, it looks like we're going to have some fair passes to give away here. We thank the Y-Men for that. That's nice. 740-383-9944. The fair is underway. Marion County Fair up and running again this year after, I guess it's been 2 years after a year absence last year due to the pandemic. But again, if the line's been ringing busy or you haven't been able to get through this morning, give us a buzz, 740-383-9944. And don't forget, tomorrow morning, we're going to have a very personal story in regard to the pandemic. You have to tune in tomorrow morning to hear, 8 a.m. until 10 a.m., and I know we have some special guests coming up later on in the week. I haven't confirmed those totally yet, but stay tuned. It should be fun as we head into the big July 4th weekend, and on Friday, we will have our July 4th program because we will not be here on Sunday. All right, let's go to the phones here. Go ahead, caller.
Hi, this is in regards to the American flag.
Yes.
Number one, if you go past a house and there's a flag out, probably there's a good chance there's a veteran or the family of a veteran lives there. Pretty much always. And another thing, and I didn't think about that till this year, but I had heard the remark made that if a flag is hanging out, or if there's a flag out, and it's only one, it's displaying the flag. If there's more than one, it's a decoration.
That's very interesting.
I never thought about that till this year, and I don't even know who mentioned it, but said, you know, that a flag should stand alone. It shouldn't be as a decoration.
Well,
just food for thought.
Well, it's interesting because when we talk about the flag, and I think we should as we get here toward July 4th, one of the fascinating things to me is shirts are shirts and pants are pants, and people are going to do what they're going to do, and I don't really have a problem with that. But when it comes to the flag itself, I do think it's interesting sometimes how there's an old saying that the last refuge of scoundrels is the American flag, because everybody likes it.
Yeah.
And no matter how awful you are, if you wrap yourself in that, people will still tend to like you. I think about that a lot during the 4th of July, because the flag means something important, but sometimes you gotta look at the hand that's holding the flag.
Well, that's true, but I thought that was kind of an interesting concept of that. If a flag is standing alone, you know, it's to be honored. It's not a decoration.
You're right, and you know, if you go to city or county buildings or schools that have flags, they are not surrounded by anything else.
Yeah, but you know, sometimes we've seen in political things where they'll have whole bunch of them clear along the back of the stage. But like I said, I never thought about that the flag is, should stand alone. It shouldn't be as a decoration.
Well, you know, there is a, have you heard the Frank Sinatra, I believe Frank Sinatra is the one who did it. It's the version that I've heard, called The House I Live In.
No, I haven't.
Try to find this song. Maybe I'll try to find it this week and play it on the air one day. It's a very old song, but it's my favorite song in regard to the 4th of July. And it's not a 4th of July. I don't think it was written for the 4th of July. But it talks about how the things that people think America are about aren't really. That it's really about the kids playing in the street. It's about helping other people. It's about having freedoms. It's not so much about fireworks and flags.
Well,
and,
it's kind of like Christmas, too.
Yeah, yeah. It becomes more about other things. So, yeah, it's an interesting thought for sure.
I kind of had a funny little thing. I have a granddaughter graduated from nursing school. And she told me she was taking her state board on June 14th. And I says, oh, that's Flag Day. And she says, it's what? And I says, it's Flag Day. I says, do you know what Flag Day is? Now, mind you, she just graduated from college. And she says, no. She didn't know what Flag Day was. I says, well, let me give you just a quick little lesson here. But anyways, I think when I had heard that about the flag should stand alone. It shouldn't be as a decoration. I thought, well, that is absolutely true. But then again, you shouldn't wear it on your pants either.
Now, you know, before I let you go here, how do you feel about the lapel pins? I wonder about those lapel pins sometimes. I mean, I think if you're wearing it because you like it, and I understand it. I'm not, you know, telling people not to wear the flag lapel pins, but when people break them out when there's a tragedy or something like that, mm-hmm. I really don't like those.
Well, kind of the same way I feel about people wearing camouflage clothes, but they wouldn't sign up and go to the service. That's another thing. And then another thing is I read obituaries in the paper. Just about everybody that was over 60 served in the armed forces.
Yeah, well, you know, it's interesting. We did a lot on the Quarry Street Cemetery with Eber Baker,
Yeah. But
it's still my understanding that a lot of Revolutionary War veterans, even though their tombstones are gone, are still over there. And I'm surprised somebody doesn't hang a flag, just one, because I know they don't know where they're buried.
Mm-hmm.
Just hang a flag. There is a cyclone fence over there that somebody just doesn't hang a flag over in the Quarry Street Cemetery, because they're the Revolutionary War veterans of Marion. They're the ones who fought to make this country free.
But then, Scott, you think about it. Why can't you do that?
Well, I might have to, because I'm thinking about it now. It just popped in my head. I'm thinking, you know, we put the flags on everybody else's, as we should, but the war that fought to keep this free, the ones who were in this area, they don't have a flag because they're in a cemetery that's no longer recognized.
Well, I had a couple of nephews that were here on vacation, and I said to them, I says, do you ever think at night when you go to bed, did I do anything nice for somebody else besides me?
You know, you're right. I am going to do that before the 4th of July, because I think that, and probably the sooner the better, that
Yeah. There
should be a flag over there, because those men, and possibly women, I'm not sure, but in those days it was a little different, should have at least a flag over there, something.
Well, and how many of them do you suppose was like 14, 15 years old?
Oh.
They were kids.
Oh, you're right. In those days there were no requirements. There wasn't even a USA when they fought.
Well, and not only that, but they were there because they wanted to be. They had to serve their country. And I'm not sure if these people standing around on the street corner screaming and shouting, waving a flag, if they class as serving their country.
Well, you know, I've always wondered, and I know we won't get it done this year. Matter of fact, I'm not even sure anything's going on in Marion, but I always felt, just because of the Revolutionary War fact, that some type of ceremony, some type of reef laying, something should be done over there at, in Quarry Street. It's a nice area. It's a nice yard now. It's kept up and mowed by the city. I think the city still owns the land. It's, there's parking along the side of the street over there. You know, just something. To honor the Revolutionary War veterans and possibly Eber Baker, who's still there, on the 4th of July.
Yeah, well, you know, like they say, if you think it, you gotta do it.
You gotta do it. Maybe we'll work on that. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, I have always thought about that, and I'm going to, you know, if nobody else does it, well, you know what, if I go over there and there are more than one flag, I'll just hang another, because those are the Revolutionary War veterans over at the Quarry Street Cemetery, and I don't believe that they were moved to the Marion Cemetery. Maybe Eber Baker was, who knows, but the veterans, I don't believe, were. Certainly not all of them. 740-383-9944. If you have anything you'd like to say, 54 minutes past the hour here. We got about 6 minutes left. And hope you enjoyed the Madge Cooper 4th of July tribute that we played this morning. She did that for many years, the Ben Franklin thing. How many years do you think Madge did that? That predated you, didn't it, at the station? Yeah. So she was doing that for well over 40 years. But it is an interesting question. Do Americans today understand what people went through in the early days, well, really the start of this country? Do they understand that we were not recognized by other countries? A lot of attention is paid to the war itself, the Revolutionary War. A lot of attention is paid to the drafting of the Constitution, and it's certainly understandable, it should be. But not a lot of attention is paid to the fact that other countries did not acknowledge us. We really had no strong, well, we didn't have any alliances. We were brand new in the 1700s, late 1700s, and people like Ben Franklin had to go to other countries like France and try to get recognition for us as a country. And it took Ben Franklin a long time, as you heard earlier on in the Madge Cooper piece. And Ben Franklin wasn't the only one. There were a lot of people who I guess would be called diplomats today. I don't know what they called them then, but had to go to other countries and try to get them to acknowledge us as a country and not colonies. And I don't know if people really understand that. And if you have anything to say in regard to that, do you think people understand that? Do you think people think about that today? Because that's what, you know, that Robert Preston bit that Madge played every year, I don't know if that's based on truth or not. I don't know if that was in any of Ben Franklin's writings or not. Do you know if that play was based on anything? I don't know if that's reality or not, but Ben Franklin, you know, the odd thing about Ben Franklin that I just learned this past year, and he should not be forgotten. If you're listening, teach your kids and grandkids about Ben Franklin. He gets forgotten because he was not a president. And the only reason, by the way, that he was not a president is because they considered him too old at the time. He was the oldest of that bunch who helped put the Constitution together, but he was very well respected. He's buried in the oddest place. Again, probably because he wasn't a president. He doesn't have a presidential library. He doesn't have a big memorial. I mean, when you think about it, and I'm not going to down President Harding, it's just because we're in Marion, Ohio, but President Harding's got the huge marble memorial, and Ben Franklin is buried in the middle of a city street in a cemetery that hasn't been used for years. There is no memorial. There's nothing. It's just his tombstone. And the city of Philadelphia has just built around it because they wanted to build up the city, obviously. It's become a very popular city, and they didn't want to, you know, pave over Ben Franklin, so he's just there. It's just the cemetery Ben Franklin's buried in. So that's unfortunate. I don't even know. You know, I should do my research before I come do this show in the morning. Is there a Ben Franklin monument anywhere? I'm sure there's a statue. But is there a place where you can go and learn about him? He's mentioned a lot in a lot of places in Philadelphia, but is there a specific Ben Franklin area? Because he was really, really involved in the start of this country. He was too old to fight in a war, so he wasn't a part of that, and he was too old to serve as president, but he was so influential, and he did serve as a diplomat as he got older. And just for the record, because I think he would appreciate this, he was a ladies' man. It's no joke. When he went overseas, he was not alone for dinner. Let's put that away. He liked having dinner with the women. 740-383-9944. Anything left to say? Don't forget the big show tomorrow morning, a personal story in regard to the pandemic, which I think is important to hear. Big guest coming later in the week, not confirmed yet, but hopefully we'll have confirmation as the week goes on. Mid-morning coffee break with Adam Lepp comes up this morning, 10 a.m. till 11 a.m. And then we have Voice of a People with Linda Sims today, 4:10 p.m. to 5 p.m. And we thank the Wyman, who I think dropped off 6 tickets to the Marion County Fair. And you know what? We're going to try to give those away ASAP probably tomorrow, because the fair, I believe, only runs through Sunday. So we'll want to give these passes away so you can go on the night you like. We'll have to get a fair schedule too, which I don't think we have. I know people like the Demo Derby Day and the tractor pulls. Yeah, people love the tractor pulls. So we'll get these tickets going out of here tomorrow in some way. Also, Charlene, we still have your elderberry jelly here, and Grover, we have your Wendy's gift card. If you'd like to come in today between 4 and 5, they are right here on the desk. So come on in. For this day, this is Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
WWGH Radio, LP, Marion, Ohio, The Talking Place, 107.1 FM. From Charlie Evers.
You know, you could come in handy, too, with that electricity if we have problems with our transmitter, which is above you.
I know.
Yeah. All you'd have to do is raise your hands and energize our transmitter.
To formerly of WNCI, Weasel Boy, is that true? I've never asked that question on air before, by the way, but...
I can tell. With it,
I wasn't even sure how to word it.
When the way your arms got going, I forget.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
Never asked anybody that question.
No, I wouldn't even know. To 40th Treasurer of the United States, Mary Ellen Withrow. Do you think he needed her after that primary election?
Yes, and I think I go back to Abraham Lincoln when it's the, you bring your enemies close.
That was, had you ever seen a primary like that in your life?
You mean Abraham Lincoln?
You weren't there for that one. You weren't there for that